Hi, I'm Susie Larson. Here's the podcast from Middays with Susie Larson. Enjoy the conversation. It's only just a matter of... Welcome to Middays. I'm Susie Larson. So honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heighten your awareness of His very real presence in your life. And you, if you listen to me over the years, you know this, and you've probably heard it from me many times, but I just believe with all my heart, God wants you to be healthy and whole. You know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, but he said he came, that you have life and life abundant. If you do a deep dive on that passage, abundant is wholeness. It's thriving. It's a flourishing soul. It is health. And sickness still does happen. But there is a part that we play in cooperating with God, and there's a part that he plays. And he wants us to engage with him, to find the high ground in all of our battles so that we can thrive in the midst of it all. It matters what you think. It matters what you eat, what you say, how you pray. It matters how you live. And all of those things play a part in your flourishing. Every single step matters. I'm so grateful to welcome back to the program Dana Dimitri and Robin Thompson to talk about their book, Eat, Live, Thrive Diet, a lifestyle plan to rev up your midlife metabolism. We had such a fantastic conversation with them last time. Before we even got off the phone, I'm like, you got to come back. We got to keep talking here. There's so much here. And you responded so strongly to that conversation. It's like a workbook. It is so well researched, and I'm a health nut, and I love this thing. I have 15 years background in fitness, and so I've read a lot on the topic. And I got to say, this, if they would have asked me, I would have endorsed this book. It's fantastic. We've got 3 copies to give away today. Wish I had 10, but we do have 3, and I'm going to get them on in just a moment. But you know the drill if you listen often enough. To get in on the drawing, you text or email. You can text 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget the mailing address. Also want you to know we've been giving away over the last 24 hours 6 pairs of tickets to the Thrive Conference. It's in St. Cloud, Minnesota. Even if you're listening from somewhere in the country that's not in the Midwest, you need to come to this conference. It's epic. We will have Lisa Bevere, Lisa Turkhurst, and Alex Seeley as keynotes. I will emcee, and I kind of help usher us into altar ministry after each of the sessions. It's going to be fantastic. We still have 1 pair of tickets to give away, and we'll take in those drawings as well by text or email. Again, the number 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. And we may be taking phone calls the second half of the show. Let's just see how the conversation goes. We've got lots to talk about. Let me tell you about my guests. We'll get them on the show. Dana Dimitri is a registered nurse and author, speaker, co-founder of the popular website Lean Healthy Ageless, which equips women to reach their lifestyle goals through practical tools and messages of faith and hope. Robin Thompson is an advanced clinical weight loss practitioner trained by top doctors and scientists in the industry. Through seminars, workshops, and coaching, she helps people lose weight, improve their nutrition, and get more active. Honored to have them with us, and this is the one time I'll talk to you both at the same time. Dana and Robin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. We're glad to be here.
Good to have you here. Oh, looking forward to the conversation. And we love to start by talking scripture, as you well know. So, Dana, we'll start with you. Is there a verse you've been thinking about these days you can share with us?
Well, there's a couple from Psalm, and I was thinking today, it's so counterintuitive, but Psalm 37:4 says, and I know you've all heard it, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But it's so backwards from how we sometimes approach things. We tell God the desires of our heart and pray that he bless them. But, you know, even in this area of health and wellness, anything that if we stop striving, which, of course, I love that scripture as well, be still and know that I am God, is from Psalm 46:10, is also translated cease striving. So I like those two together, Susie, because if we first and foremost focus on the Lord, and even when it comes to health and wellness, then he changes our desires, and then our desires are in sync with him. And so then we get the desires of our heart, and I think we need to approach that with our health as well.
Very, very good. Okay, Robin, how about you?
Well, one of my favorite verses is 2 Corinthians 12:9, which says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. And I think that for many people, when you're looking at the whole diet, health, weight loss, nutrition, fitness, sometimes we feel we've failed before, we're weak, we fall to temptation, all of that. And that scripture just reminds me that it's not just me by myself. I don't have to have all the power. I can, you know, make a decision, make a commitment to lifestyle change, but God loves me so much, and when I'm weak, He can be strong through me in that process.
Beautiful. Well, one of the questions you say we should ask ourselves, and I'd love both of you to speak to it if you've got something to say about it, is to look at and answer this honestly. How do you see yourself? Like looking in the mirror, what do you see when you look in the mirror? Dana, let's start with you. Talk about why it's so important to get an honest assessment of what you see when you look in that mirror.
Well, you know, I really believe our identity plays such a huge role. I know this. It doesn't matter what our age is from. You know, we talk about that a lot with teenagers and young adults, but how we see ourselves is so important, but it's not through the world's eyes. And I think, I know for me as a young woman, I started struggling with my size and my shape, and I wasn't even fat, but I was a little bigger than my friends, and I looked in the mirror and saw myself less than. But we really have to look at ourselves through the eyes of Christ. And if we don't, we're just so subject to constantly having a shifting identity. And yes, we want to look our best. Yes, we want to feel good about ourselves. But I've always said it's not about self-confidence. It's about Christ's confidence, because there is a beauty that shines through no matter what your outward appearance is when Jesus is the center of your identity.
Very good. Robin, you also, in that section of the book, you say a healthy and godly body image is totally connected to healthy, godly perspectives and expectations. In other words, it's possible to have ungodly, unrealistic expectations when we look in the mirror, and then we'll always fall short and always be discontent. Speak to that.
Well, I think it is important to, you know, take, you know, look at yourself, especially when you're going on a plan and, you know, Take a good look and see where you're at, where you want to be. That doesn't mean that where you're at is a place where you have to be completely discontent. There should be a motivation there, but this is interesting. On our coaching session yesterday, Dan and I have a Eat, Live, Thrive Academy where we coach women who want extra support, and there was a woman on there who we had asked, what do you not like about yourself, and what's your why? What is that why? And her why, she couldn't dig any deeper than saying, I don't like my tummy. And I said, well, that's what is it about your tummy? What does that represent to you? We went deeper, and she said, well, I'm out of breath when I walk. I can't keep up with my husband. He's really fit. And I started asking questions more in terms of what it means to her lifestyle. So to be content in who we are, because we have our identity in Christ, but to want to make those changes, not necessarily because we look at ourselves and think, ugh, I look terrible, but what is it that will change in my lifestyle when I'm fitter, when I'm healthier? Is it that I can keep up with my grandchildren? And the motivations that you look at in those why reasons, you can look at negative things like, what if I don't make this change, what is my life going to look like in 10 years or 20 years? Sometimes we can be motivated by the negative or the positive. What will my life look like if I make these changes? And I kind of look at myself more now and think, how, you know, am I fit? Am I healthy? Am I strong? What am I going to be able to do in 10 years from now? Will I still be able to be as active? What will my 20-year look like? Because health and longevity can be a really high motivator versus looking at my, oh, is my tummy too fat?
You know, a couple things are coming to me, Robin, as you're talking. One is, You almost lose out of the gate if you're looking at this as obligation. I'm fat. I don't look good. I look worse than everybody else. You're starting with a deficit. So that's obligation. I just ought to and I should do. But the invitation is to say, you know what? There's more right with my body than wrong with my body, but I'm going to rise up to a new level. I got a fresh vision for my life. Another verse that's coming to me is, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain. Where this godliness with this forward-moving faith with this divine contentment going, I got to start somewhere. I'm starting here. and I'm accepting the invitation. I just think that is way more motivating than trying to start with a deficit where you're condemning yourself out of the gate. And we're going to pause here, but when we come back, I want both of you to tell your story, because you open this workbook with stories of how you both gain and lose weight very differently. And then you have a third friend who also loses and gains weight totally different from you. And it kind of set the course for you understanding how body, our body types are so different, how we respond to food is so different, and how do you discern how you're going to gain and lose weight. I'm talking to Dana Dimitri and Robin Thompson. Their book, it's like a big, thick workbook. It's titled Eat, Live, Thrive, Diet, a lifestyle plan to rev up your midlife metabolism. Even if you're young, I'm telling you, there's great healthy advice in this book. We've got three of these to give away. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. You can text in or email middays@myfaithradio.com. We'll be back in a minute. An idea for you. How about just to get a little exercise? Every time we have this music that brings us back from break, you get up and you jump around a little bit. That little thing would make a difference in your health. Do you believe that? Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson talking to my friends Dana Dimitri and Robin Thompson about a book they have co-authored. It's a workbook. It's heavy. It's weighty. And the content is as well. Eat, Live, Thrive Diet is what it's called, a lifestyle plan to rev up your midlife metabolism. Got a few copies to give away. Also, if you've got questions, you can text or email those in. We're thinking of taking calls second half. I'm just not sure yet. Here's the number, 877-933-2484, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. And both of you, I'd love for you to speak to this. Dan, I'll go to you first. But you guys open up talking about how you both of you, and then a third friend, all gain and lose weight differently, and how important it is to understand that as we pursue our health, how we're wired and what kind of foods we react to. So, Dana, what's your story?
Well, my story, Susie, I mean, it goes back to the young woman I started to mention earlier in the earlier segment, you know, that looked at myself and thought I was fat, and I started doing some diets and so forth. But I think my story is my issue with food, especially as a young woman, was very emotional. That it wasn't so much body chemistry or food sensitivities or whatever. It was this unhealthy bondage to food. And I ended up, by the time I was in college, I was binging and purging up to 5 times a day. Now, that's a whole other story in terms of how I was transformed by the renewing of my mind, as it says in Romans 12. But from a pure physiology, what I did learn, once I got a handle on that by the grace of God and His power and His truths, and came out of the bulimia, I learned that I could basically count calories. You know, what people have been saying forever, calories in versus calories out. It worked pretty well for me. It didn't work as well as I got older, but it still worked for me. That's my body chemistry. I don't have a lot of food sensitivities, and these sensitivities we talk about in the book are not just, you know, like what you'd call an allergy, but things that are literally holding you back from weight loss. Robin, on the other hand, very different. Robin, if you will share, you know, because she's kind of going from a thin adult to a little pudgier.
Yes, right. I was actually really I was chubby as an adolescent, lean.
Only
as
a friend
teenager.
Could tell. I'm just going to say, only a friend, a good girlfriend could segue that way.
Go ahead, Robin. Oh, my friend, pudgy. Yeah, I was a pudgy kid, and then of course I got into my teens, and I was really lean. And then of course, as I got into those perimenopause years, even in my late 30s, early 40s, I started gaining weight. And what I'd been doing and coaching others to do for years and years wasn't working for me anymore. So I realized through research and testing and figuring out my body that I have a lot of food sensitivities. And those sensitivities can cause, you know, digestive upset. They can cause all sorts of health issues other than, you know, what you typically think of a food sensitivity, maybe a skin allergy or something like that. But they also can cause weight gain, and they can cause your body to have the inability to lose weight. So that was my issue. And then the other friend that we talk about in the book was not necessarily so much about food sensitivity. And hers was more about insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome, and you know, a carbohydrate on her, you know, is like 20 compared to one carbohydrate on me. Her body had the less ability to utilize carbohydrates, and so all of us are so different, Dan and myself and our other friend, in how our bodies metabolize food and utilize food. And so we are not a cookie, you know, one-size-fits-all package, because our bodies are all so unique and different.
Boy, this is extremely important. I don't think people know, unless you listen often enough, you've heard me say this before, but just because when you eat a food, it doesn't bug your gut doesn't mean, as they're saying, it doesn't inhibit your health. Because I've got a family member who gave up corn and her anxiety level went down about 80%. My hubby, just to try it for a fast, gave up gluten, lost 30 pounds in a month. He didn't do anything else but gave up gluten. Yeah. And I'm sure that's the insulin resistant thing. But we're going to get into this, your ABC plan, because this is why that elimination part is so important, to find out what's bugging you. And we'll get to that in a moment. I got a listener who says, how can we kindly and lovingly approach the topic of weight, health, and wellness with our preteen teen daughters when you can see that they're overweight, but they have no desire to be active or eat better? What do you say?
Oh, that's a tough one. In that, one, they're very sensitive at that age. Secondly, they're so prone to eating disorders. I mean, it's that fine line of, you know, it's kind of like the elephant in the room. And I would say, first of all, just lots of prayer, because sometimes it's not the parent. And it's, to me, it's the same as sharing faith. Sometimes we want to barrel in and say, you need Jesus, and we kind of shove the gospel down somebody's throat, where I think sometimes questions are a great way to start, you know, asking them how they feel, asking them, and maybe, you know, just how they are seeing themselves in comparison to their girlfriends, not specifically about weight, seeing how they're feeling health-wise, how they're, I don't know. I think that we, especially teenagers, have to come to their own conclusion to a degree. The other thing, of course, is as parents, we can greatly influence what's in the house and what kind of foods we're eating. So I think it's just gently opening up the conversation and finding out what's going on, and then also being super observant and praying for God to give you wisdom to know, is your child using food, as we many of us do, you know, to fill in a gap? Is there something else going on? And that's kind of where I would start. And it's just, I think there are so many young girls that then they start to, we talked about body image at the beginning, you know, they start to go down this downward spiral. So it's really important to have super healthy conversations and them take each step with them, I guess. And I don't even know if that's great advice, Susie,
but that's
fantastic. The best I can do.
I think it's fantastic. I remember some young girls when we were overseeing a youth group, their family were so staunchly healthy, so no sugar, none of this, you're going to be healthy, you're not going to be overweight, that when they were at youth group, they would literally take the sugar container for the coffee in the church kitchen and pour the sugar in their mouth, because it was like this black and white all or none. But I've also had young girls whose mom had just said, you know, honey, if you just lost a few pounds, you might feel better. And it thrust them, as you said, right into a body image and an eating disorder. So it is, wow, Lord, give us wisdom. And I want to switch gears if we can. You know, Robin, you had this hunger issue, and I think it's something that doctors could not even really diagnose for you, but you have a hunger that's probably a higher level than most people. Say a word, if you would, about that.
Yes, actually, I have gone to doctor after doctor, and finally, most of the consensus is that they say it's in my head, but not an emotional issue. Mm-hmm. They believe that somewhere from my gut, which they call the second brain, to my brain, there's some neurotransmitters that are not connecting and not sending the right signal. So what can happen for me is I can eat a very large amount of food, a large meal, and within 15, 20 minutes, maybe 30, I'm not full. I'm not satisfied. I feel like, oh, like I could eat a second one, which is way too much food for me. I mean, I'm talking about a large meal, like if you were to go out to dinner, and you know the portions are so much bigger when you go to a restaurant. So it's definitely been challenging for me, and so I understand when people say that, you know, they're hungry all the time. We have a couple supplements that we've used. We carry a supplement on our website called Levidia, which helps the gut send a signal to the brain that you are satisfied. So that's helped me a lot. And then the interesting thing, Susie, is I kind of changed things up in my lifestyle, but the fasting that we have a revised intermittent fasting. It's a little bit gentler, kinder approach than the typical intermittent fasting for women, especially as we age. We need to really be conscientious of how we're doing fasting. But fasting seemed to help me actually diminish my appetite. And I did a lot of that for the last few years, and now all of a sudden I switched it up and I'm actually eating more often. So I'm always changing something to see if it can help that appetite.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was interesting because you said you did when you felt like you were gaining weight in the eating, just because of the insatiable hunger that was so out of the norm for you, you would do these 36-hour fasts to reset your body. Do you suggest that for somebody who feels like they're kind of in a funk and kind of stuck?
I do suggest if somebody has been kind of off their plan, eating a lot of sugar, a lot of garbage, to do a more extended fast is a good way to kick you. It's a very good detox for your system. It will cleanse your body rapidly of the garbage you've been putting in, so to speak, and can get you back on track. It's not something you want to do. I would say 20, 24, 36 is a long one, but maybe, you know, if you do that once a month, if you're kind of putting it in a plan, but it's definitely a correction. Our ELT eating cycle is much gentler than that. I mean, we look at people fasting on a daily basis, 12 to 13 hours, and then extending that throughout the week a couple times if they want to, maybe 14 or 16 hours. But those longer fasts, they do work. They will cleanse your body of the toxins, reset you, and really give you a fresh start. So I like it for myself. For some, everybody's different, Susie, and for some, that's too hard and too intense for them. So it really, you know, it's individual. But I do like the way it works for kind of cleaning you out and giving you that fresh start mentality, not only mentally but physically.
So would that be a water-only fast?
When I do it, I will have a little bit of herbal tea. I actually will have a little bit of espresso or coffee on my fast as well. And I might put a small amount of unsweetened almond milk or something like that in my coffee or tea, maybe some broth, but that basically would be it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting. When we come back, I want to ask you about intermittent fasting, but Gabe also has a great question. He says, fantastic show, interesting topic. How do we find those unknown trigger bugs? We're going to get to that for sure because it's in the diet, in the book on the diet. But he says, I love this. What order works best for all three of these every day? Mental, diet, activity. We also will talk about our thought life. We're going to talk about activity. We've got a lot to cover, so I'm not ready to open up those phone lines yet. Gabe, we're going to cover those questions. We've got three copies of Eat, Live, Thrive Diet. Email or text 877-933-2484. Middays at myfaithradio.com for the email. I'll be back in a minute. Hope you're moving. Thanks for tuning in to Middays. I'm Susie Larson, talking to Dana Dimitri and Robin Thompson, who co-authored the book Eat, Live, Thrive Diet, a lifestyle plan to rev up your midlife metabolism. It's a big workbook. Not that big, but it's weighty. I'm telling you, there's a lot in here, and it's just well-researched, grounded in scripture. I love this book. We've got a few copies to get into your hands. You can enter the drawing this way. Text 877-933-2484 or email middays@myfaithradio.com. A lot of questions are coming in, and how do you know what you're sensitive to in a way that would cause you to gain weight? So let's just jump right in to the three phases. Dana, let's go to you on the elimination phase.
Okay. Well, Susie, what we really want to do at the very beginning is help people kind of get a jump start on their weight loss, on a gentle cleansing detoxification. And the elimination phase is just that. You're going to eliminate certain foods. Now, we are realists, and so we have three levels. And the first level is so simple, and it's simply eliminating all grains and all added sugar. And when we say added sugar, what we mean is, you know, anything that has table sugar in it, and, of course, adding table sugar or whatever to your coffee or whatever. Now, we do allow in all three levels up to 2 tablespoons of, or I'm sorry, Robin, I think it's 1 tablespoon of raw organic honey or pure maple syrup within the context of our recipes, because that small amount spread out through the day in maybe a snickerdoodle muffin or one of our chocolate recipes goes a long way to make the diet just like so doable. But what happens in this elimination phase is women and men, because it works great for men too, they get this opportunity to see how their body performs, one, when they bring out some of what we call food culprits. Now, there's more than just the grains and sugar. Level two will add in things like nuts and legumes and dairy, and level three will take it a whole nother level, maybe remove soy and eggs for 4 days, because we're really trying to help people, one, jumpstart the metabolism, but two, discover, as you were saying earlier, these foods that are doing more than just causing tummy upset. They may be, I loved your example of the corn, they may be making people just lethargic, depressed, irritable, sinus, aches and pains all over the body because of inflammation. So we get so excited, because asking someone to do this for 14 days and then watching how they feel, not just the weight loss, but, oh, my gosh. I mean, our women are telling us all the time, after doing this for a while, I feel 10 years, 15 years younger. So that elimination really helps them discover, or start to discover, how powerful the diet can be. We often say it can be both the cause and the cure of so many of our health issues.
Okay, then you go to the discovery phase, Robin. Take it from there.
My favorite phase of the diet, because during discovery, this really answers your listener's question. This is when you start testing those foods that you pulled out. You start adding them back in individually, one at a time. You test, you have a couple servings of that particular food. We'll use corn, for example. A couple servings of that each day for 3 days. And you're journaling and looking at so many different things in how your body is reacting. Are you having congestion? Your example, I've heard that many times about anxiety. My mom would get depressed when she ate corn. So there's all sorts of things that we describe in the book of what you should be looking for to see if you have a sensitivity to this food. It could be joints being achy and stiff. It could be digestive issues. It could be a skin issue. It could be lethargy, emotions. There's so many different things to look for. Sinuses is another sensitivity that would show, oh, gosh, if I eat that, I'm really congested. That shows a food sensitivity. Now, of course, weight gain is a potential side effect of a food sensitivity, and then, of course, the inability to lose weight. So we have you test those foods. You add them back gradually, one at a time, and so that you can really see which food is causing you havoc. And what I love about the discovery phase, Susie, is that when you're through that and you have all that knowledge, you're so much more motivated on your own, whether you want to add that food back into your regular diet or not, because it's not somebody telling you, oh, you shouldn't eat corn or you shouldn't eat wheat, it's bad for you. No, you've discovered it on your own. You know how bad you feel with a particular food, and that makes you not want to add it back in. The other thing through the discovery phase is you're beginning to also see a little bit more about what your potential carbohydrate threshold is. I think we mentioned earlier when we were talking about the three different ways myself and our friend and Dana lose weight all differently. Well, if you have a very low carbohydrate threshold, you will notice some of that during the discovery phase, because if you're eating a lot of grains and high starch food that you're testing, you may begin to gain weight back. And so that is kind of part of that testing as well.
Wow. You know, I always say nothing tastes as good as feeling good feels, you know. Once you realize how good it feels to feel well, nothing is worth it because it's a few minutes in your mouth and then you feel crummy for hours, if not days. Okay, Dana, how about the lifestyle phase?
Well, lifestyle phase is where people are going to ideally live most of the time. And we have this philosophy that you need to lose weight in a similar way you're going to keep it off. And so you're obviously not going to stay in a full elimination endlessly. You're going to figure out what Robin, you know, was talking about in discovery, figure out how much of some of these grains that you actually tolerate well you can handle, because so many women and men, but especially women, just cannot eat the level of grains and starches they did even in their 30s, let alone their 40s and onward. So lifestyle is an approach to figure out, where am I going to live most days? I want to lose weight similar to how I'm going to keep it off. So I'm going to find this place that I land in most days, remembering that I cycle back on occasion to elimination. That's part of lifestyle, to reset, reboot. If I'm veering off track, whether it's with emotions or my weight's going up or whatever, I come back. So in lifestyle, we take two approaches, again, because we're so different. Robin is kind of like, keep it simple. Give me some portions. Tell me, you know, what kinds of foods I can eat and how much in general. I'm a numbers girl. I want to be more the calorie, carbos. I don't want to constrain myself as much as, oh, I already had two fruits. So I will look a little bit more at how many calories am I putting in, how many calories I'm burning. I love to encourage people to wear fitness monitors like a Fitbit or whatever, just so they really know what they're burning. And then, of course, carbohydrates. We are not a no or low carbohydrate diet. We're a controlled carbohydrate diet, helping men and women discover their carbohydrate threshold, which foods serve them well and all that. So lifestyle is really a continuation of discovery, but it's that place where you land where we like to encourage people to do, we could call it either the 90-10 or the 80-20 rule. You can start with 80-20, and that is 80% of the food you put in your mouth is so nutrient dense. It is the best, you know, fuel for your body. But there's room for 10-20% of a little bit of fun food, a few empty calories now and then, if, and that's a big one, if it doesn't set you off, number one, for example, if you're a sugar addict, or number two, you kind of lose control or whatever emotionally. So you're finding that place where you can live most days and still say, I still really enjoy my life.
Boy, let's talk. We're going to talk a bit about exercise and a bit about our mental state, how we handle stress, what we tell ourselves. But let's say a word here. You know, I think even our Fitbits and Apple Watches are noting us on the hour to get up and walk around. And a nurse had said to me a few months ago that they're saying that when you sit all day long without getting up and walking around, it's akin to being a smoker because of what it does to your lymph system. You're not getting up and jarring things and moving things around. Robin, you can both speak to it, but Robin, let's go to you about just even spurts, you know, jumping up and down, running up and down the stairs, you know, on the hour. Doing something is really significant to your health, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's funny, as we're sitting here, I'm sitting down talking right now, but then as soon as we got off the air, I went up and stood in front of my fan, walked around, the music was going, I was dancing.
Way to go.
But it is so important to move your body. If you're not, especially as we age, Susie, you know, our bodies are losing muscle. All our organs are made of muscle. So we have to keep using. I tell my mom, I said, you need to use it or you're going to lose it. Mm-hmm. And so fitness and just movement, daily movement. You may not do you know, a full exercise routine every single day, although we encourage something like that. But move every day. Move every single day. Because if you don't use it, you will lose it.
Wow. Devana writes in and says, will you touch on the effects of alcohol, like beer or wine? Dana, what do you say?
Oh, gosh, that's a loaded question. You know, I think I've always been a person that, you know, when it comes to some of these things, whether it's sugar or alcohol or whatever, that moderation is the key. And everybody's different. It, just like sugar, I can handle a small dessert here and there. It doesn't set me off. I don't gain weight. I don't go out of control emotionally anymore. I used to. And it's kind of the same with beer and wine and all that. It's figuring out what does it do to your metabolism. I mean, it it is a toxin to some degree. You know, we know, but we also know in moderation it can have benefits. We know red wine has resveratrol. We know that it can relax. We know biblically, even Paul telling Timothy to take a little bit of wine, and I personally believe it was fermented wine. So I don't think from a spiritual standpoint that just depends on your sensibilities. But I fits in, to be honest, it fits into my lifestyle. I lived in Europe for many years and came to super appreciate a quality glass of wine to pair with a meal, and it enhances it to me. But it is extra calories. And so when I'm drinking wine, I kind of look at it as my fruit for the day, because we are limiting some of the fruit calories and so forth.
Wow, appreciate
Can I
that
pipe
so
in
much.
Here real quick?
You bet.
Can I pipe
you
in
bet.
Here? Because mm-hmm. this is another, I think it's really important that this is another area where it really depends on your body. Because for me, I wish I could have a glass or two of wine. It affects me at such a high level of toxicity that I literally, one glass of wine will give me a hangover for a couple days. It will throw off my eating. I will crave sugar. I will crave unhealthy foods for a day or two if I have alcohol. So here, again, is we are not all one size fits all, and we don't. Our bodies are so different. So if your body can tolerate it, like Dana, a small amount, she's able to manage it. My body can't.
Wow. Isn't that, you know, that's why Scripture says to one, if it's sin, you know, and we're not talking sin here. We're talking about what your body can handle. But I think it translates to the one size fits all. If God's given you a conviction, you can't yeah. put that on everybody else, because each of us has to give an account. And I mean, I really appreciate that balanced approach, because like anything, there are things that, you know, somebody can watch an action suspense movie and they're, you know, of course, within reason, I hope you hear me say that. But somebody else is like, you know what, that stirs up fear in me. And we have yes. to be really free to be accountable to God and to listen to what it does to our whole physiology. I suppose that's another show. We're going to pause here. When we come back, let's talk about just what we do, how we manage stress, the things that we tell ourselves, and we'll weave in a little bit more on just the daily consumptions, the daily inputs of food and entertainment, and how those things all fit into our health. Talking to Dana Dimitri, Robin Thompson, about their great book, They Write Like They Speak. The book is Eat, Live, Thrive, Diet, a lifestyle plan to rev up your midlife metabolism. We've got a few copies to get into your hands. We are going to keep the drawing opening for probably about 15 minutes after the show. So you can text or email if you want in, 877-933-2484, or email middays@myfaithradio.com. Back in a minute. You recognize that song? Those of you been listening for a while, that was my old theme song to Live the Promise when I was on in the afternoons. Couldn't resist. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. As we're talking about health and forward-moving faith and getting a vision for your next place of promise, you know, God really does want you to flourish. Jesus paid a high price for your flourishing. And we have a part, and God plays a part. And it's not all up to us, but it's not all up to him either. And his spirit in you will work to give you the will and the desire to do what's good for your soul, what gives glory to God, and what really helps you show up in life in the best way possible. Talking to Robin Thompson and Dana Dimitri today. I love these girls. They've co-written a really amazing book. And again, as a health nut, someone who's worked in fitness a long time, I just wholeheartedly endorse this book. It's biblically grounded, so much practical help, and really up-to-date information on fasting, on diet, on detecting your food sensitivities, the food hindrances that keep you from being your best self. It's titled Eat, Live, Thrive, Diet. I've got a few copies. You can text or email to get in on the drawing. And if you're new to this show, I'll just give you that number real quick, 877-933-2484. The email is middays@myfaithradio.com. I love this quote from clinical psychologist that you reference in your book, Alice Crum. She says, "Our beliefs matter in virtually every domain, in everything we do. How much is a mystery, but I don't think we're giving enough credit to the role of our beliefs in determining our physiology, in fact, our reality. We have this very simple metabolic science, calories in, calories out. People don't want to hear that our beliefs influence too, but they do." Dana, say more, which especially when you talk about your food issues and some of your the disorder that you were dealing with when you were young, had a lot to do with self-talk and your core beliefs, repetitive thoughts. Speak to that. Yeah.
Completely, Susie. You know, it has been said that, you know, we believe what we tell ourselves most often, and it's true. In our human brain, our most dominant thought wins. It's the way God designed our brain. And I know as a young woman, as I started to look at other girls and do the comparison game, I'm not thin enough, I'm not pretty enough, and then, you know, moving into an eating disorder where I was like, I can't stop, what's wrong with me, I'm a loser, I'll never lose weight, I'm out of control. You know, everything I was saying to myself was so destructive. And really, all of our behavior, all of our emotions are outflowing from our thoughts. And so when we say our most dominant thought wins, it means that it's driving all of those things, the emotions and the behavior and the actions. And so, you know, this is what transformed my life. Because I was bulimic and taking diet pills to try to get out of the bulimia, I ended up in a very downward spiral and started to have unrelenting panic attacks to the extent I literally thought I was, one, losing my mind, and second, there were several times I, in the moment, thought I was dying. And it is, fortunately, the good news is it led me to the Lord because I was really facing off my mortality. But I became very aware as a brand new Christian, as I really sought God out of fear of dying, that Romans 12:1-2 that says, Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And it is, we're transformed by truth. And I would say to anybody out there, it doesn't matter what kind of challenge you have in your life, what kind of bad habit, it can be lifestyle, it can be destructive thinking about relationships, it can be, you know, you're always sabotaging relationships, or whatever it is, you know, we need to put truth into our minds. We opened the show talking about identity and how we look in the mirror and see ourselves, and everything is influenced by what we believe, not what we just think, but what we believe, what goes from our head to truly in our heart. And so many things are lies because we are bombarded by the world. We've talked about that a lot today in everything from body image to, you know, just temptation and all those things. And so we actually dedicate two full chapters in the Eat, Live, Thrive Diet to changing habits from the inside out in a very biblical way, identifying our lies, taking our thoughts captive, erasing and replacing those lies with truth, first and foremost from God's Word, but even sometimes just a practical statement like, I am in control of my food choices. You know, with the power of God, I can do fill in the blanks. And the fourth step, though, and this is so important because this is not a hard process, but it's repeat, 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 repeat. Just like we're told to constantly set our mind on things above, to pray without ceasing. We're given so many wonderful precepts in God's Word because we need the repetition. That is what ultimately locks in the change.
Wow. Robin, how about you? How have you had to contend for a redeemed thought life? I mean, what are some of the things you've battled? What are the things you've replaced them with?
Oh, gosh. I mean, of course, I've been battling this hunger for a long time. And I have used the statements, I am easily satisfied. I am easily satisfied. The other thing is, I think when you become aware of a lie that you have been believing, and a lot of times we're not aware of it. It's really, I hear people all the time through our coaching. It's just in the way they speak, I pick up the lies that they're believing. But when you do realize and start to think about what you're saying to yourself, I think one of the biggest things is that you say, no, stop, cancel. I am not going to continue to feed myself that lie. I am going to make that decision to change. And whether that change, we have a tool that we suggest using in the book we share. It's called Trigger Talk. And you put a rubber band on your toothbrush. And so if you brush your teeth two or three times a day, every time you see the rubber band, you pick up your toothbrush, you feel the rubber band, that's when you start speaking those truths, the opposite of what the lie is you're believing. So if I'm believing the lie that I'm always hungry, I'm hungry all the time, which you know, is easy to believe because my stomach is telling me that and my brain is telling me that, I can use that toothbrush when I'm brushing my teeth and say, I am easily satisfied. With God's help, I have the power to overcome this hunger. I can use those statements, and that toothbrush trigger talk is a really good reminder just to say those statements. And you don't have to say it out loud and spit toothpaste all over the sink. You can say it silently.
Love that. We've got so many texts coming in. I wish you could see them. But this dear listener says, first time listening to your show, and it's just what I needed to hear today and to be directed. Struggled for years with weight and body image. It's so destructive. I need direction, purpose, and instruction. I hope I win a book. And dear listener, I hope you do too. Don't forget your address. We just need that so we can mail a book. You know, I'm 5 foot two and a half. I'm a small person, but I am my I would say high school years and early college years battled weight. I was probably 35 pounds overweight. Not very many people know that. Because I'm small, they think I've always been small. But I was stressed. I was depressed. I was eating for the wrong reasons. And when you're in such a funk, it affects you mind, body, spirit. It was the first thing I thought of in the morning, the last thing I thought of at night. And I think, you know, both of you, we've only got a couple of minutes left, but I want you to cast a vision because there's so many who settle there and feel so defeated at the gate. But anything's possible for any of us if we just start to take steps in the right direction. So, Dana, what advice do you have for that person listening today who is where I was, is in that place right now?
And I was too, Susie, and I know exactly what that feels like. You think, I will never, .. No, don't believe that lie. I would say to you, God delights in every small step we take. And I've said this for years, but it's just my little cliche. Small steps taken consistently add up in a big way over time. It's that, you know, we really have to break it down into moment-to-moment choices and celebrate every little victory. So often we look at, like, I've got 30 pounds to lose or 50, or it doesn't matter what the number is, and we get into that all or nothing thinking, and it's just like every little step in the right direction is nourishing my body, is equipping me for a healthier body tomorrow, and giving yourself grace. We always say it's about progress, not perfection. Take perfection off the table. Take, you know, doing everything just so, and just take some action. That's why Robin and I absolutely love coaching, because we have watched women have breakthroughs that thought they were stuck. And my word to all of you is, you are not stuck. You can do this with God's power and your surrender. Not perfectly, but you can do this.
So good. And Robin, before you speak to that, because I want you to as well, a number of people have said, I need their website. They're interested in your supplements and in your coaching. Can you rattle off your website real quick?
Yes. Our main website is leanhealthyageless.com. It's leanhealthyageless.com. And they can also get some free resources on the it's eatlivethrivediet.com. So
okay,
both of them.
Leanhealthyageless.com, eatlivethrive.com. So you've got about a minute, a little more than a minute. What do you say to that person who's stuck and feels like this may be true for everybody but me? What do you say?
Well, I think the first thing is just to make that decision, deciding that you are going to change your lifestyle and move towards health and move towards a better life as far as energy, vitality, and weight. So the decision is probably the biggest thing. And then also remember that your past failures, because a lot of people have failed before, it doesn't mean they do not equal your future. And this is the biggest thing, I think, that health and weight loss and this lifestyle change is a journey. And remember, as you're on a journey, you're generally going to take some steps forward, but then there's going to probably be some small steps back, and then step forward, and then step back. You should be moving forward, but don't worry about those steps back. I mean, we all veer off track a little. We all have times when we eat the wrong foods. That doesn't mean you're not still moving forward. It's three steps forward, one step back, two steps forward, one step back, four steps forward, two steps back. I mean, it's a journey, and it is towards a healthy lifestyle.
You too. Appreciate you so much. I think we may have received a record number of texts, which means this is a topic that resonates. I just love you too. Thank you for the time today.
Thank you,
Susie.
For having
it's been
us.
A pleasure.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our next conversation. I think we have more to talk about. Thank you, dear listener, for tuning in, and we will meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this Middays with Suzy Larson podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of the show, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of Middays with Suzy Larson.